Oh, wow. It's time for Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.
It is indeed. Thank you, MOTAT. Let's jump straight into this. This is a great topic.
I'm going to jump straight into this before you jump straight into this say what an absolute pleasure it has been for the last, gosh, how long has it been? 2 years?
A long time. Yeah. Yes. Yep. Very long. Over 2 years. Anyway.
Yeah.
And who's counting?
You're the second host I've seen off now, I guess. But
yeah, that's hard.
But it has been an absolute pleasure, and it's always fun working with you. You always ask excellent questions, and I think you explain things very well. So you will so be missed.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It won't be the same without you.
So. Yeah. Aw, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun working with you for the last nearly 2 years for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's been nice actually having that both of you. I mean, the fact that you came in, Marcus, this is great. I mean, this is a little party.
Well,
over
I saw
there.
The champagne, so.
That's the only reason. Okay. I see. All right. Well, I'm just going to sip my champagne while you talk.
Fair enough. Okay. So, as you so rightly said, we're talking about cannabis. And we have a little referendum coming up at the end of this year. Not quite the end. And so obviously there'll be all sorts of views from either side, publicised and everything. So there's a recent paper, like by recent I mean this week, that's just been published in Nature. And yeah, it's kind of heavy stuff, as I said when I sent you the story. But basically it's a question of how drugs actually work. So up until now it's been thought that drugs work by disrupting things in the brain called neurotransmitters. So neurotransmitters are just simple chemicals, and what they do is that they sort of transmit signals from one neuron to another, and basically your whole sort of brain works like that. So neurons are just nerve cells in your brain, okay? Yeah. And you're relying on transmission of essentially electrical energy between these neurons, and et cetera, et cetera. So people have thought up till now that drugs work by sort of disrupting those neurotransmitters and sort of slowing down or altering or whatever the transmission of these signals. However, so this week in Nature, so it must be good.
Okay.
So these workers in France and Spain, so they have published a paper that sort of casts doubt on this generally accepted method of how drugs work. And they've been looking at THC, which is the active ingredient, or one of the active ingredients, I guess, in cannabis, so tetrahydrocannabinol. And they have proposed that this actually works by a different mechanism. And you might think, yeah, so what? But wait till the end. So, as I say, heavy stuff. So what neurons rely on for energy is a molecule called lactate, okay? Mm-hmm. Or I should really call it an ion because it's got a charge on it. But so lactate, you may have heard of it, comes from lactic acid. It's derived from lactic acid, and lactic acid's derived from glucose. And there's a process in the body called glycolysis, and that gives you a whole lot of energy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? And that's where a lot of energy comes from this glycolysis process. So what they have found in studies of mice is that this THC, the tetrahydrocannabinol, it activates a receptor in the brain, which is somehow there, designed solely for cannabis, for THC anyway, and this is called MTCB1. And what that does is it leads, once this receptor is activated by THC, it leads to a decrease in the oxygen consumption. And when you decrease the oxygen consumption, everything slows down. So your metabolism, the cellular metabolism, slows down. And ultimately, that leads to a decrease in the production of lactate. Okay, now lactate, as I said, is used by neurons as their power source. So if you're starting to decrease the amount of lactate that's being produced, then obviously you're affecting the power source of the neurons, and you're sort of doing, you know, not great things to your brain, obviously.
Right.
Okay. The guts of it is, and this was the really interesting bit, they did mouse studies of this and looking at how mice were affected by THC, and what they found was that so the mice who had been fed THC and had this receptor activated increased their social distancing, basically.
Oh.
That's basically the guts of it. So they exhibited what they called in the paper abnormal behavior in the form of social isolation.
Wow.
So these mice would go off into corners and everything. They would essentially socially distance themselves from the other mice as compared to sort of control mice. Mm. So, and that's kind of the guts of it, the guts of the study. And so they have shown for the first time that no, not necessarily are we disrupting this, I guess, conversation between the neurons in the brain. It's all to do with lactate, this ion called lactate, and the disruption of the production of lactate is how the drug then supposedly is operating and having its effects and everything. So this is kind of big news. So
yeah, this is big news. I mean, this is science. Should we go into the politics? I don't know. There is obviously a huge kind of debate and discussion around this, particularly, like you say, around this referendum.
Yeah, absolutely.
Many questions to be answered, though. The referendum is particularly around actually decriminalising, right?
Yes.
So it's about regulation, because what we are dealing with, yes, is a substance. So actually, in terms of understanding the way it works, that's hugely beneficial to all of us in terms of knowledge.
Yep.
But yeah, in terms of where this could be taken on either side, in terms of that information being used and marketed or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Let's remember that it is about regulation. That's what the referendum is about.
Yep.
Also, I think because there's lots of questions too around medicinal cannabis, and I do think that you can have cannabis without the THC,
mm-hmm.
and this is kind of where those other benefits do come into play,
where
the effects in that sense aren't at play. Mm-hmm. Is that?
Yeah. As, you know, there's all sorts of... well, I guess you would call them active compounds in cannabis.
Mm.
And so, you know, I can see an awful lot of study being done on this in the very near future, I would imagine.
Yes, let's hope. Yeah. And let's hope, and I won't tell people what to do, but in terms of my absence, please continue these conversations in the lead up to the referendum. Okay, topic number two.
There we go.
Purifying water with the power of sunlight.
Mm.
As you're downing.
Sorry, caught me mid-sip there, okay, so obviously in some parts of the world, water is a real problem. Look, hell, let's face it, in most parts of the world, water's a real problem. Okay, we're bloody lucky to live in the place that we do.
Although 2 out of 3 of our waterways are polluted. So
Yep.
Qualifying statement.
Thanks for being a downer.
Got to say it.
But obviously, we're nowhere near as in trouble as say places like Bangladesh, where their wells are poisoned by arsenic and stuff like they've got very, very high arsenic in their wells, et cetera, et cetera. And so obviously you need to purify water. Now purifying water is simple. It's simple. All you got to do is boil it, distill it, and condense it. That's mm-hmm. that's it. You can purify any water, no matter how crap it is, simply by boiling it, condensing the vapor, and there you've got pure water. Okay? Easy. Trouble is, obviously, not energy efficient.
Right.
Okay? Because a buttload of energy goes into boiling water. So, how do we get around that problem? So,
that's a technical term. The buttload.
The buttload, yes. Yeah, that's an SI unit of amount, yes. So how do we get around that? So there are some workers in the States who have just published again this week in Nature Sustainability, another Nature paper. So again, it must be good.
Legit.
So ever seen a thing called capillary action?
Capillary, I know, is your blood, right?
Well, there's capillaries in your blood. Yeah, indeed. And capillaries are just very, very, very narrow tubes, basically.
Okay.
And if you take a really, really narrow glass tube and you put it in a glass of water, what happens? They should have told you this at school. They really, really should have. They should have done this demonstration
at
school.
A narrow tube in water.
But you put a really, really, really narrow capillary tube in water and the water
sucks up. Yeah.
Okay? So it sucks up by itself, basically. It's operating against gravity.
It's magic.
No.
This is actually great, this dynamic. Maybe you guys should come in together every week.
No, he shouldn't. Yeah. No, I think your glass is empty there, Marcus.
Yes, it is. That's the problem.
So what these folk have done is they've taken a sheet of aluminium and they have etched it with a thing called a femtosecond laser, which Marcus would be way, way, way more familiar with than I would. But this is basically a laser that can hit very, 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 very short laser pulses, okay? Mm-hmm. And what they can do is basically they can put very, very thin, like micro nanoscopic grooves on a sheet of aluminium. Okay, really, really tiny little channels and bumps and stuff. Okay, and when they do that, the aluminium goes from lovely sort of silver-colored aluminium that we all know, it goes to black. Okay, now black is a good color because black absorbs lots of light. Okay.
Yes.
So they have etched this surface of this aluminium with these really, really narrow channels, which are capillary channels. Okay, so okay. Because they're really, really small, they act as capillaries. So what you can then do is put this sheet of aluminium, you can put the bottom of it in polluted water. What will then happen is that water will come up these capillary channels, very, very, very small volumes of water. You've got this black aluminium sheet now that is absorbing lots and lots of light from the sun, creating lots and lots of heat, which then evaporates the water. And the water evaporates, and then you can condense it, and you've got pure water.
Wow.
Just like that.
That is brilliant.
Okay. Now, that is seriously cool. Okay. Now, this, you know, somebody was thinking when they did this. And so, now, before you get too impressed about it, okay, so to get 5 mils of pure water out of this, it took 2 hours. Okay. So, but... You know, this, as we so often talk about, Lillian, with proof of principle.
Yes.
Okay, and
yes.
More research is needed.
More research.
But this is a really, really clever stuff. So, as I say, this capillary action, it works to the tune of the water coming up at 2.1 millimetres per second.
Wow.
Okay, so what you've got, again, you've got these tiny, tiny volumes of water.
Tiny.
You've got, and the beauty of this is that you can orient it towards the sun. Okay, because you've got this capillary action that's pulling the water up, you can have this at any angle. So it can follow the sun quite happily, and the water will still come up in these very, very small volumes. It'll be evaporated by the solar energy, and you can then go off and condense it. And so this is brilliant. You know, this could be really, really, really big.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would basically mean that you could take any source of water, just a simple sheet of aluminium that you carefully etch with a laser and stuff like that, and away you
Brilliant.
Go. So there's a whole lot of people who are looking at, you know, different methods for purification of water because it is, clean drinking water is a human right, for goodness sake, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So lots and lots of people are, as I say, you know, doing research to ensure that this becomes a fact for... You know, it's basically the majority of the population of Earth who haven't got access to clean water. So it's a start. It's a small start, but you know, I think this could go on to really, really big things. So very, very nice stuff.
That is
nice
fantastic. Science. Thank you for sharing. We are pretty much kind of out of time.
Oh.
So
if God, you can say this every week.
If you can do this in 1 minute.
In 1 minute.
Yeah.
Okay, continuing the solar aspect. Okay, so very, very cool as well. So heat. I could tell you all about heat, but I haven't got time. But basically, most heat goes to waste. That's the trouble.
Yep.
Heat needs to be concentrated to be useful. Okay. So they have developed these molecules that basically can take in ambient heat, and they essentially concentrate the heat, and then they can release that when they are irradiated by sunlight, basically.
Uh-huh.
And that's basically the guts of it in one minute or less.
Nice work. Concentrating heat, though.
Yeah,
concentrating
heat. I could go into the specifics of it, but I know you're not going to let me because, as usual, I'm waffling too much.
But
so,
it is also a great point in terms of, because we do discuss solar power often and that sort of thing, and now, like you say, this is just further evidence of more advancement in these
You know, as I keep saying, the planet is solar powered. As I don't keep saying, and I just realised, the planet is nuclear fusion powered. We are a nuclear powered planet. Now that'll get some phone calls.
Yeah. Whoa, way to end the segment.
Because, again, the energy comes from nuclear fusion. That's where solar power comes from nuclear fusion. So.
Okay.
But anyway.
Thank you so much.
As I said at the start, it's been an absolute bloody pleasure, and I wish you all the best
in your future.
Please
do stay in touch. You'll be hearing from me when I have a science-related question, no doubt. Thank you both so much for coming in today.
You're welcome.
Mind blowing. That was Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.
Been in the dark.